Alright, can all commissioners see and hear? If so, give me a thumbs up. Girl I know can, she talked about it earlier. All members of the public see and hear? I can't see the members of the public, so I'm going to assume. You guys can? Good. This meeting is being recorded. Once Commissioner Kobe asked me to call the roll, to indicate you are here, as well as give permission to record by verbally stating, here, permission to recall. Record. It's all yours, Michael.
I call the February 15th Finance Committee of the Whole, meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa Shepherd, please call roll and move the time.
Sure, it's 6 o'clock. A member Boren?
Yes. Commissioner Treacle.
Member Brooks?
Yes,
permission to record. Member Schneider?
Here, permission to record.
Member Spain?
Here, permission to record.
Chair Colby?
Permission to record.
Perfect. All right.
Okay. It is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? And if so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. I don't see any hands being raised, so I think we can move on. Then, Lisa and John, do we want to go through the first draft of the budget?
Yep, I'm going to turn it right over to John. John, I just let you share the screen, so...
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Lisa. Good evening, everyone. So I will go ahead and share screen here so that... we can kind of walk along the same document together here. Hopefully everybody has had a chance to review the first draft here of the fiscal 23 budget. You will have noticed that the budget format does look pretty similar to what we've presented in prior years, with a few exceptions that I'm going to get into detail on shortly here. So starting here with the Director of Finance memo and budget summary overview here in tab one. So this document here is really just meant to provide detail on what is included in the nine tabs there here that we have in the budget document. And it also includes a section here for the budget premises, which gets into some detail as it relates to our operating tax levy. If you'll remember back to November, we had adopted the 2021 tax levy, which applies to our fiscal year 22 and 23. That was approved at a 4.02% increase over the previous year. Of course, we won't know what that final extension is until we receive our final property tax levy, which is typically in the summer timeframe. Number three here, we just make mention of our district's policy to maintain a 50% reserve committed to fiscal sustainability, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And based on the ability to meet the fund balance policy requirements, we have proposed in the fiscal 23 budget that we make a $600,000 transfer from the corporate fund and an $850,000 transfer from the recreation fund to go to Fund 69, which is our master plan capital project fund. Number five here just gives an overview, very high overview, on the capital project activity for fiscal year 23. So our operating capital, Fund 65, is going to have approximately $604,000 budgeted in projects. B, C, and D represent fund-level capital outlay, so the capital expenditures that are specific enough to a department or fund that are being spent, that they are just spent directly out of that fund. And, of course, the master plan capital, which is the significant capital that we'll be undertaking for fiscal 23, and that's mainly the Watts renovation, the pier project, and the crib wall. Number six, again, just discusses the 5% merit pool that was approved by the board at the January board meeting. As we look at the budget summary section here, just a few things I'd like to highlight. So this is where we do have some additional information when compared to the prior year budget, and that's schedules 1 through 4 that are summarized here. So in the past with the budget summary, we've taken the approach of trying to incorporate the beginning fund balance in with our revenues, And then at the down at the bottom, we'll go ahead and subtract out those revenues, and we'll also make adjustments for capital project transfers. And when we get to the expenditure section, we also make adjustments to for general and administrative allocations that are booked between different departments. So what we did this year is we did present that same information, which is in tables 1 through 4, items 5 through 8 here on the screen as you're looking at it. So for those of you, I know we have some commissioners who have been through this process before. So for those of you who are comfortable with that and familiar with those schedules, we did leave those in there. And we also did add schedules 1 through 4 this year, really just to provide a different perspective. And really it comes into play here with Schedule 1. And what Schedule 1 is really doing is factoring out all of the carryover balances, beginning fund balance, capital project transfers, and G&A allocations. And it really just tries to summarize or provide a snapshot as to what the operating activity looks like for the fiscal 21 or the fiscal 21-22 budget, which is Schedule 2, the fiscal 21-22 projections, which is Schedule 3, and then finally for the fiscal 22-23 budget, which is going to be Schedule 4. So Schedule 2 is going to summarize our ending fund balance at $2,743,447 for the corporate fund and at $4,469,924 for the recreation fund. And that's as of February 28, 2022. And then Schedule 4, which is the fiscal 23 budget, we see our ending fund balance at $2,156,29 for the corporate fund and at $3,752,239 for the recreation fund. Again, just a high-level summary of the capital projects. We'll get into a little more detail on these in Tab 5. So with that, I'm going to shift over here to our budget summaries. And as I mentioned here, so Schedule 1, I'm going to spend a little time here on this schedule just trying to explain some of the numbers. And, you know, this is the schedule where we're taking out beginning fund balance, we're taking out capital transfers, we're taking out G&A allocation, and we're really just trying to display what the changes were, what we had budgeted in 1 year, what we're projecting it to be, and what we're budgeting for the next year. So this is broken out by revenue, these three columns. These are expenditures, these columns. And then this is the excess revenue over expenditures or deficiency revenue over expenditures. And I don't mean to be long-winded when I say excess revenue over expenditures repeatedly as I'm talking through this information, but I just want to make clear that this number is not necessarily a surplus or a deficit because it really doesn't factor in those other things that are not being included, like the capital project transfers. The proper term in GAAP accounting is excess revenue over expenditures or deficiency of revenue over expenditures. So that's what I'll refer to as I'm walking through the information here tonight. So I will just point out here, again, we have fiscal 22 budgeted in the first column of each section, fiscal 22 projected in the second column of each section, and then this is fiscal 23 budget in the third column of each section. So again, just a reminder, our fiscal year from March 21 to February 28th. I'm sorry, Commissioner?
Was he going in and out for others or is it just for me?
Yeah, everyone.
Okay, John, you were going in and out for about 30 seconds. If you want to back up and say just to remind us and then continue.
Sure, sorry about that. As I was mentioning here, the different sections here, this section here, these first three columns is the revenue. The next three columns here are the expenditures, and the third set of columns here is the excess of revenue over expenditures. Did you guys get the rationale between calling it a surplus or an excess? Okay, so I won't get back into that. And then first column of each section represents our revenue for fiscal 22. Second column represents our projected revenue for fiscal 22, so our forecast at year end. And the third column of each section represents our budgeted revenue. our budgeted amounts for fiscal 23. And just a quick recap on our fiscal year, it's March 1 to February 28th, so fiscal 22 amounts represent activity from March 1, 21 to February 28th, 22. So just to get into some of the numbers here, we'll start with the corporate fund. And as we see here, we had budgeted in the corporate fund for a $394,000 excess of revenue over expenditures in the corporate fund for fiscal 22. As we project out what that number is going to be, we're looking at that being around $833,000, so significantly higher than what we had initially budgeted for in the corporate fund. A major part of that is, as we look at the beach, we had budgeted for a deficiency in revenue over expenditures by about $11,000, and that number wound up being approximately $211,000. So we're looking at a major difference there. And then not as large of a difference here for the boathouse. We had budgeted for a $77,000 deficiency in revenue over expenditures. And that number wound up being approximately $22,000 less than $54,000. Similar for Watts, we had budgeted a deficit of approximately $171,000. And we wound up with a deficiency of revenue over expenditures of about $56,000. So those were the main contributing factors. We do see that parks also, we had budgeted for a deficiency of $1,567,000. That number is looking like it'll be around $1,473,000. So really all the departments within the corporate fund, those being administration, parks, Watts, beach, and boathouse, outperformed what we had initially budgeted. As we take a look at the difference here in parks, there was some increase in expenses specifically related to Duke Park and the water bill that associated with that, but that was offset with some reduced spending in maintenance and contractual. So we had budgeted for $1,567,000 and spent right around $1,500,000. As we look at Watts Beach and Boathouse, it's really the reason for the better than budgeted results is really in the revenue. So we look at the beach, and we had even Watts. So as we look at Watts, we had budgeted for $170,000 here in fiscal 22, and we wound up with $281,000 in projected revenue. The beach, we had budgeted $308,000 compared to $551,000 that we're projecting out, and boat to a smaller extent budgeted approximately $113,000, and we're winding up around $126,000. Looking at expenses, they are relatively close to what was budgeted for those particular departments. So again, it really is the revenue that helps to contribute to the better than budgeted results. And as we look at it, you know, we were budgeting during the midst of the pandemic last year, and then probably at the height of the Delta variant. And really our revenue model changed as a result of the pandemic for Watts and the beach, and particularly how we shifted over to more of a pass model. And that certainly had a positive impact in the operating results then for our fiscal 22. Next number I'll point your attention to is here in the recreation fund. So we had budgeted for a deficiency of revenue over expenditures in the amount of $96,000. That number wound up being an excess of slightly over $1 million. So a huge difference there. And I'll speak to some of the reasons for that difference here. So the TAKIF admin department, we did not budget, if we look at the revenues, we had budgeted $1,316,000. We wound up a little higher than that, and that was mainly related to room rentals that were not budgeted for. Obviously, during the pandemic, we didn't want to budget for something that we were still unsure on at that point. Expenditures did wind up slightly lower than the budgeted amount of $2,362,000. They wound up around $2,228,000. As we looked into the reason for that, it was mainly in salaries, particularly in custodial salaries that for some positions that we're looking to fill, along with reduced spending as it relates to supplies. When we take a look at our rec program, that's really one of the big ones that's contributing to that significant excess of revenue over expenditures here. So we had budgeted for $867,000, and we wound up with $1,372,000. As I looked into the individual programs themselves, if we look at the sports programs and as we look at the camps, that was about $300,000 of this overall increase. And then about $100,000 of that overall increase was related to additional margin achieved from our preschool programs, particularly in Richmond, so Children's Circle not included in this line item. So another department within the recreation fund that really outperformed what we had budgeted is Children's Circle. So we're projecting a slightly over $500,000 excess of revenue over expenditures in Children's Circle for fiscal 22 compared to a budgeted amount of $102,000. So really the as we look at that number, the $523,000 does include $150,000 in grant revenue that we received in fiscal 22, which is not budgeted for. And really the remainder there is, I think we were conservative in our revenue budgets, just given where we were at in the midst of the pandemic and again the Delta variant. And we really had less closures as a result of COVID that we would have anticipated in the Children's Circle. So really just came out of it better than we were initially thinking during the COVID Delta variant a little over a year ago. For the fitness center, we did budget for a deficiency of revenue over expenditures right around $20,000. That has come in nicely this year, rebounded, and looking to probably or hopefully break even as we end our fiscal year 22 within the next couple weeks here. So just want to shift my attention then over to the fiscal 23 budgeted amounts here. As it relates to both the projected and budgeted amounts for fiscal 22. So the Parks Department is budgeting slightly under $1.7 million in expenditures. And really the main reason for the increase here is the direct allocation of health insurance. So with this year's budget, we're directly allocating health insurance expense to the particular department that we can assign the employee to, whereas in the past it's been paid out of the general and administrative department and then allocated out based off of a percentage. So this is maybe a little more precise, as we're directly identifying the people on the health insurance and charging it directly to that department. So that actually accounted for $230,000 in additional expense for the Parks Department. They did obviously achieve a savings in their G&A since that G&A number went down as we pulled the health insurance out. That savings was around $90,000, which gets us to a net increase of around $140,000. And then the remainder of that increase here compared to budget is really related to Duke Park, as I had mentioned, we're kind of increasing the utility bill for water there in Duke Park. Expenses for the other departments within the corporate fund, Watts, Beach, and Boathouse, are fairly consistent with prior year. Again, it's more on the revenue side of things, and we're not quite budgeting our revenue in Watts, Beach, or Boathouse really directly in line with prior year, and that's for a few reasons. We do take a historical approach as we're looking at the revenues and really try to take a three-year analysis as opposed to just going back to the previous fiscal year, and that's probably a prudent approach just given the anomalies that we likely did see as a result of COVID, particularly with Watts and the Beach. Nonetheless, we are still budgeting for an overall excess of revenue over expenditures in the beach of a little over $100,000. And we're more optimistic on what our deficiency in revenue over expenditures will be, as we're that number's at about $92,000 compared to the budgeted $171,000 in the prior year. And again, Boathouse to a lesser extent, approximately $13,000 less than the budgeted deficiency of revenue over expenditures last year. We do see an increase now as we shift to the recreation fund. Revenues for the TAKIF admin department, 90% of this is property taxes, so not a big swing there. We, I think, increased a little bit for room rentals, but pretty consistent with prior year revenue. We do see a larger jump in expenditures here. We're budgeting for $2,555,000 in expenditures compared to the $228,000 in projected that we have for fiscal 22. And a couple things related to that. Again, similar to parks, we're directly allocating the health insurance for the folks that are paid out of the admin TAKIF fund. We're also having some increases in salaries as a result of reallocating the early child care manager from the Children's Circle into the TAKIF admin department. And we're also budgeting for an assistant department head within the Parks Department, and a portion of that person's salary will be allocated here to the TAKIF admin department also. So those are the main contributing factors to the increase in expenditures there. As we look at the recreation program, again, recreation programs had a significant increase in expenditures, but really in line with what we see here for increases in expenses. So we had budgeted 2.702 in fiscal 22, budgeting $3,668,000. So certainly optimistic that COVID will continue to have a limited effect on our programming. And then ultimately the margins that we're budgeting, $1,209,000 is really consistent with what we've seen in the recreation programs historically, slightly over 30% from a recreation program perspective. Children's Circle, again, we're budgeting for factoring out the grant revenue. So if we subtract the $150,000 in grant revenue from this $2,034,000, we have a slight increase in budgeted revenue for Children's Circle. While we do see a significant increase in expenditures for Children's Circle, so we're going from $1,511,000 here to $1,789,000. The main contributing factors there are the outsourced food service and part-time teachers. We are budgeting to hopefully be fully staffed. That's certainly an optimistic approach at this point, just given the difficult labor market. Nonetheless, we are budgeting to be fully staffed there, and I think you know, it's obviously, I think it would be a good thing if we are able to reach that budget or have our projected totals match up with this projected expenditures at the end of the year. And again, with the fitness center, we're optimistic that we'll continue to hover near or slightly below break even for the fitness center. Just to wrap up on Schedule 1, and then I could definitely take some questions if you have some now. The Liability Insurance Fund here, so this is a non-major special revenue fund, and that's really true for all of these funds down here, with the exception of the Bond and Interest Fund, which is a debt service fund, a major fund to the district. The other funds listed here are what are referred to as non-major special revenue funds, and really all that means is these funds receive property tax dollars that are set aside for a specific purpose, so they're restricted to be spent only on that purpose. Really, as you look at these numbers, not much to speak to outside of here, the Liability Insurance Fund. We had budgeted to spend down some of our fund balance in this fund to the tune of $108,000. We only wound up around $20,000, and that's due to the fact that we had a lighting upgrade project here at TAKIF that was delayed and will ultimately see spent out in fiscal 23, which is reflected here in this $260,000 expenditure budget for fiscal 23. So that covers it for Schedule 1. I'll just kind of wrap up these next three schedules just to kind of summarize here. So the next three schedules represent the fiscal 22 budget, fiscal 22 projections, and the fiscal 23 budget. And what we do with these schedules is we do bring in those other components. So interfund transfers, our transfers, which represent our transfers to master plan capital and operating capital, those are now included in the schedule. And then we show what our beginning fund balance is, and how that projected net change in fund balance changes it, and ultimately what our ending fund balance percentage is. So as we look at this Schedule 2 here, again, this is for the fiscal 22 budget, we had budgeted for approximately 69% remaining fund balance in the corporate fund last year, and we had budgeted pretty close to that 68% for the recreation fund in the prior year. Where those projections ultimately are going to shake out, as we're projecting now, we're projecting to be at about 86% in the corporate fund, and we're projecting to be at about 87% in the recreation fund. So these numbers are what we're anticipating our fund balance to be at 2/28/22, so within the next couple weeks. It does not factor in the transfers that we had discussed in the previous committee meeting, proposing $1,450,000 in transfers.
Yep.
So when we do factor in those transfers, which will be made in our fiscal year 23, they're actually reflected here in this column. You see the $1,450,000. So this is where we're accounting for those transfers, the $850,000 here for the rec fund. And then the $600,000 is included here, along with the $507,000 operating capital. When we do factor in those capital transfers, we're projecting for a fiscal year 23, so February 28, 2023, ending fund balance in the corporate fund of approximately 67%, and we're projecting for approximately 61% in the recreation fund. So those are the numbers that we had discussed at the committee meeting at the beginning of February.
And John, just to make sure that I'm on you 100%, the last column is basically the ending fund balance, the second to last column divided by the second to first column, right? So that is
correct. Yes.
Is 3.7 million divided by 6.18 million.
That is correct. Yes.
John, Bart Schneider, just refresh my memory. When does the $1.4 million combined transfer take place?
We're anticipating that transfer to take place in June of 2022, once the audit numbers are finalized. We're not expecting any significant changes or audit adjustments, but we're going to hold back until we do have our final audited numbers to go ahead and make that transfer.
Okay, all right, thanks for reminding me.
So I have a question with that. I thought we had, if my memory serves me right, we had talked about doing it in the current fiscal year. So does it show up as current in the audit?
Yeah, so in the audit, it'll show up as a committed fund balance. So, you know, set aside for that specific purpose. I believe we're bringing it to the board in March for approval, uh-huh. And we'll ultimately then transfer it in June. So it will remain, approval will take place in March, and it'll be transferred then that same year.
Okay, so then that would show up, yeah, okay, so then that it would be a line item as a transfer in the fiscal 2023 audit and budget, okay.
Correct. Commissioner Covey, just to go back to your question too, so the percentages, it really, you can take it off of whether you allocate G&A or not.
Right.
So these percentages, I believe, are actually based off of the allocated G&A. But if you really took the bottom line here, it really doesn't matter because you see it's the same number. The G&A allocation just nets itself off. So
right.
The number here is 63% regardless of how you look at it. It's just the split then between the corporate or recreation fund.
Schedule. It zeroes itself out in the top in the corporate fund. Where does it zero itself out in the recreation fund?
you actually wind up with a deficit here in the corporate fund of $674,000 for a revenue. As you look at it from an accounting perspective, this would be a credit of $674,000, which is a revenue, and this is a debit of $674,000. So it essentially nets itself off.
I'm gonna believe you on that.
So here we see. This is the total G&A expenses, the $1,105,000.
Right, and then the offsetting part of it is only half of it, right? $641,000 is half of that.
674, yeah, so $641,000 is what goes to the recreation admin take-it fund, and then $33,000 goes into the recreation fund for Children's Circle. But essentially what the total G&A expenses are the $1,105,296. Immediately we take it out of that department because it nets itself off. It gets reimbursed from the other funds, and then we just take that $1,105,000 and split it up across the other departments within the corporate fund, which is Parks, Watts, Beach, and Boathouse, and then the two departments in the rec fund get their share. So it nets itself then out to zero. All we're doing here is moving the expense from a department within the general fund to six other departments, four of which are in the corporate fund, and two are within the recreation fund.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay, so it's the 1.1. I knew what you were doing. I just didn't realize it. The 1.105 is a sum of the 309 for parks, and the 44, and the 50, the 27, and the 641.
And the 33. That is correct. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, and this was a point where I was, you know, as I was initially reviewing the G&A, you know, I figured this might be a little more clear in how it, you know, it starts in one department and all it really does is get allocated to other departments. It receives revenue in that department, in that general and administrative department, and then for GAAP purposes, we'll go ahead and eliminate that as part of our audit balances. Because it's not.
How come the RECS program gets none of it?
So the rec programs are really meant to, you know, operate standalone. A lot of contractual work being done, and you know, so I believe that's probably the intent there, is that we would not allocate any G&A there because we're essentially contracting out and earning a portion of that revenue as we're providing those services to our citizens.
We don't have to change it, but just like the Stephanie Brisbane to the world, the Bobby Collins who are taking their G&A, you know, salaries are certainly dedicated to some of the recreation programs out there, right? They're certainly spending time with the contractors and the vendors, and there's an argument either way, but I hear you. That wouldn't change it, but just, I don't think that's the right answer.
Yeah, absolutely, and we could take a closer look at it as we get into the next fiscal year. And I certainly analyzed it for really just looking at direct cost and determining if those percentages made sense based on overall direct cost, which they did. So those G&A allocation amounts are consistent with what we've done in prior years.
Got it.
So with that, if there's no more questions on these schedules, I'll just move ahead here to those tables. So hopefully this looks familiar to at least three of our commissioners here on the call. And again, I'm not going to get into the detail on each of these schedules because I recap most of this in schedules 1 through 4. Commissioner Covey, just in relation to your last question, we do have a schedule on here showing what the G&A allocation percentages are. Again, directly allocating the health insurance resulted in a decrease here of G&As to $1,105,000. Compared to the 1.366 that we're projecting for fiscal 22. Table 4 here I think is useful though to get into the different components here of fund balance. So if you remember, I mentioned the 67 and 61% there in Schedule 4 previously. These are the components that really make that up. So our committed for fiscal sustainability amount here is $1,615,000 for the corporate fund, and it's $3,092,000 for the recreation fund. One new thing this year that you might notice also is we've added an assigned amount here for medical insurance reserve. And That number is highlighted here. We got $75,000 at 228.23 within the corporate fund, and we have $100,000 at 228.23 in the recreation fund. And I'm going to move on to tab 3 here to help explain kind of what our thought process is with that assigned for medical insurance reserve. So tab 3 gets into the narrative review and kind of background on all the departments and funds. I'm not going to get into the detail of all of this unless there's any questions. I'd obviously be happy to address those. But really what I'd like to focus on here is the health insurance discussion here in the narrative. And ultimately what our hope is with this health insurance reserve that we're establishing for fiscal 22 and into fiscal 23 is we're looking to just have additional options as it relates to health insurance. So health insurance is one of the biggest line items in our operating expenditure budget. And if we're able to maybe set aside some money and just have it assigned for that specific purpose, I think it'll serve a couple purposes here. It'll take some of that variable component out of our operating budget. We won't have to be budgeting to the extreme every year and then ultimately realizing, you know, hey, we didn't have to use it all. And secondly, it'll give us, I think, flexibility in the overall health insurance options that we choose to offer and that we choose to ultimately pay for. So what I mean by that is if we were to move our HRA plan from a $1,000 $1,250 deductible to a $3,000 $3,250 deductible plan, first off, that has no impact on the employee because the employee only pays the difference there. So in both cases, the employee pays $250. The main difference is there the district would be on the hook for additional expenses, a higher premium if we had more utilization, so there was more claims, the district would have to pay those out of pocket. Given our historically low utilization rate within our HRA, I think there's a real opportunity to potentially save some money there in going into that higher plan and just, you know, especially if we have that reserve set aside. And as we're achieving savings then in our health insurance on a year-to-year basis, we can certainly quantify that and put that back into this employee insurance reserve and then really take a look at it and see how what can be done to help improve the overall employee benefit package that we're able to offer to our employees. So that's the reason for the additional employee insurance reserve for fiscal 23. And I'll just kind of illustrate what the health insurance expenditures look like once we get to Appendix D.
Can you just explain then where that money is coming from? So the actual balance of this year is $10,000.
Correct.
The deducted balance was $50,000. So we're $40,000 short?
Not necessarily. So the $10,000 is really a carryover from several years back, and I think was meant to handle any potential claims on a much lower plan. So as I get back here to table 4. So that's what the $10,000 represents. So what we're looking to do is to put aside this year an initial amount in each fund to allow us to increase our exposure to claims, but ultimately save on premiums at the end of the day. So as we ran some rough numbers, we're optimistic we could potentially save $50,000 if we change from this $1,250 HRA to the $3,032.50 HRA. We are optimistic that we could potentially achieve some savings there, estimated, again, at around $50,000, which we would in turn then put back into the insurance reserve as we continue to evaluate then what our employee benefit package looks like. So it's basically a component of existing fund balance that we're setting aside.
Is it simply a savings from having higher deductibles that you're helping that people pay through this reserve?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that, Commissioner.
Sorry, it's like I'm a little confused as well. I'm the only one. We can talk about it later. But it's just basically you're saving by shifting the deductibles. You're saving money somewhere else, and then you're keeping this.
Our monthly premiums are significantly less for a plan with a $3,032.50 deductible,
right.
As opposed to the plan that's $1,012.50. So if we shift to that plan, we definitely save the premiums, and then the variable component is the utilization rate. So if we do pay out claims, we could potentially be on the hook, which we would use this reserve to pay. Historically, our claims have been low, and the expectation is they'll be low enough to where we'll achieve significant savings that we can continue to invest into the insurance reserve.
And for the actual employee who's on the medical plan,
yes,
he or she is not paying the higher deductible? Or
no impact at all. They still pay a $250 deductible. The only difference is the bill that we receive in the mail is, instead of $1,000, it's $3,000. Or,
right.
You know, it goes up for...
And you're hedging your bet, we're going to have lower bills. The savings that we get from shifting the deductible will more than offset the anticipated bills that you will get with a higher differential, and the employee feels nothing, I'm fine with it. Other firms do this differently, where they actually have the employee pay extra, and then, John, you would cut a check to the employee. But it sounds like...
It's all behind the scenes, correct? Yeah, the employee sees nothing of it, so...
I get it. Makes sense.
Okay.
I get it now. Thank you.
I get it.
Sure. All right, perfect. So moving on to tab 4 here, this is the detailed budget. So you'll literally see every line item within our budget here. Certainly not going to get into the detail here. The only thing I will point out, if you are looking at some accounts in particular, the year-to-date activity column here, this is still cash basis. So you might see some anomalies where our projections are lower than year-to-date, and that is, we are aware of that, and that's just a matter of these being cash basis numbers. Our projected numbers are accrual basis. So once we close our books at the end of our fiscal year, we certainly would expect that those balances will then align with each other. I'm going to move on to tab 5 here, which is our capital project information. Appendix A, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but this is a summary of the smaller capital items that are directly identifiable with a particular department or fund, so they are charged directly to that fund. So we got admin, parks, lots, beach, boathouse, the RAC fund, children's circle, and really at the end of the day, pretty consistent with what was requested in the prior year, $634,000 for fiscal 22 compared to $597,000 in fiscal 23. Appendix B, so this is our operating capital, our fund 65. We did have a discussion on this at our previous committee meeting. And some of the information is going to change here slightly as a result of that discussion. So the first thing I'll point your attention to is the $203,000 that we've set aside here for the AC condenser that will be increased now for the enhanced filtration that was discussed at the previous committee meeting. And we are also are going to increase the community hall AV system budgeted amount here slightly from 60 to likely around 75,000. Unfortunately, we do have to cut something out from here then, and it likely we would propose it to be the R22 bulk purchase, just maybe scaling back on that to account for the changes for the filtration in the AV system. We'll also point out that we are going to start increasing, or proposing that we are increasing the amount that's allocated over to Fund 65. This is strictly coming from the corporate fund, that corporate administrative fund. So this is, it's been $500,000 for several years, at least back since like FY15, I want to say, without any adjustment for inflation or anything to that effect. So what we're planning on doing is increasing it in line with the increase in our levy. So again, the levy's a year behind, so this $507,000 transfer for fiscal 23 represents a 1.4% increase, which is consistent with what CPI was at 12/31/20. Appendix B, next page here. So these are our big ticket master plan capital items. Again, I think we've discussed most of these. The big items this year are the kiln, or the Watts construction, the crib wall, the pier, and of course, the kiln, the gas kiln that we're installing here. Tab 6 gets us into the budget summary by categories. So these are all the funds just in the type of category for either revenue or expenditure. Not going to get into the detail of each of these either. We'll again just point out insurance we are directly allocating to the corporate, to the parks fund, and to the recreation take-a fund. And as a result, we do see a reduction in where the G&A is presented here in our total fixed charges and obligations. Tab 7 gets into the merit pool document. You all have seen this, I believe, so I will not spend a lot of time on that document either. We do have a detail of our training schedule and tuition reimbursements for the upcoming fiscal year as well. Tab 8 gets into five-year budget projections, and I'll just be careful to say here that this is definitely not a multi-year fiscal plan. That would be a little more involved. But nonetheless, we did go through the exercise of looking at our revenues in particular here, and really just, you know, for our property taxes, we know that with inflation, we're likely to see an increase in the range of 5% next year for property taxes, maybe more depending on what our new property looks like. Some basic assumptions here to our fees and charges and our rec program revenue. And then same goes for expenses, some basic assumptions there just based on inflation and everything. And really the most useful point in here for me at least is I took a look at, you know, where we're projecting to be at the end of each of the next five fiscal years. So this isn't as eye-popping or alarming of a number, because we do know that this is all accounted for, and a big part of this is Watts. But when we look at upcoming fiscal years, and particularly fiscal 25 and 26, this line item here represents the capital that's tied to our condition assessments or our heat sheets. And so we're anticipating that we will have these capital needs, and particularly for fiscal 25 and 26, there's really not any funding yet put aside to meet those capital needs for that for those particular fiscal years. I will point out that fiscal 27 is the first year that our referendum bond debt would fall off, and we would ultimately be able to assess whether that's another avenue that we would want to go down at that point. Tab 9 just gets into the detail of the program and facility fees for our major programs, so won't get into too much detail here unless there are any specific questions. And with that, if there's anything on, I know there's a lot of information here, so if there's anything I went over too quickly or skipped over, I'd be happy to revisit or answer any questions that you might have at this point.
Quick question, John. Just referring back to the last page of tab 5, I do see that we are budgeting for the entire cost of the crib wall. I know that there is an expectation that the village is going to contribute to that. How does that play out, and when do we find out? When do we learn that?
Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. Actually, I believe the crib wall is, what, $400,000 said there?
Yes.
Actually, the full amount of the crib wall would be $700,000 as of right now. So mm-hmm. We are in talks with the village about partnering with that. And that really is, both of the parties have budgeted money. It will not probably be completed in this fiscal year. It will be next fiscal year, but it's earmarked just in case we are able to facilitate that. Right now, we're trying to see if the village is trying to see if we can get a grant associated with the water plant, so that was something that they could only get a grant for. But we are looking at a partnership, and that only indicates half the amount of that crib wall.
Okay, thank you.
A lot of money for a wall, I know.
Yeah, and it's, especially since it's twice that. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Yeah, hey John, on tab 8, and I understand we're talking about a one-year budget, not a long-term budget, but in terms of the shortfalls, and you pointed out the big capital expenditure numbers, in the assumptions in there, a page or two back, number 3, it just says no other grant revenues have been included in these projections, is it likely that there would be grant revenues for any of these big capital expenditure numbers, or that's, yeah, I don't know if there's any preliminary feel for that.
I can answer that again. As of right now, we're looking, forecasting that the only one that would be eligible possibly for an OSLI grant would be Lakefront Park, and that's if we added other recreation amenities to it. Other than that, a lot of the projects we have on our list aren't really attractive for the big OSLI grants or the park grants like we've had in the past. So these are more infrastructure improvements. I don't know if Chris wants to weigh in on that.
Yeah, Bart. So the park grants in particular, really, there's actually a score modifier if you've ever won one. So it's not likely the district will win one of those again in the near future. As far as the final year out, I think it's the $5.5 million year, represents the maintenance center. I think outside of a state of Illinois line item grant that would have to be kind of negotiated at a political level, I don't see a competitive grant process typically paying for a maintenance center. It's just not something that lawmakers typically can get reelected supporting. So it's not something that they usually pay for, unfortunately. Our best bet is for a federal grant for the crib wall. As far as water infrastructure, that's actually a very possibility. So I think that what Lisa indicated earlier, that focus with the village, is our best bet for something outside of the Illinois Department of Natural Resource chain right now.
Okay, and is it the whole $5.5 million that would be for the maintenance center, or is that just a big part?
I would imagine it's probably going to be more than that by 2026, 2027, if I had to guess. I mean, it's probably a $5 to $5.5 million build right now today, based on the very conservative concept plan that we did 3 years ago. So
yeah, and that's not with a lot of bells and whistles. That's a very streamlined design. It's every bit of that. So.
And it sounds like it's something we wish we had now as a new maintenance center. But is there a date? Can it be phased in over time, or it's like tear it down, rebuild it? What exactly goes on?
You know, Bart, a lot of the expense is unfortunately site modifications as far as retention goes. So if you start down a phase, long and the short of it, the concept plan we looked at was one centralized building, as opposed to all the small satellite buildings from an efficiency standpoint. So, you know, from a phasing, I think that they're likely, if we're really looking at, you know, potential 28, 29, 30 plan, I think there is going to have to be some thought on how do we carry the existing facilities. I don't think that they're going to make it in the condition they're in another 10, 15 years. I mean, in a perfect world, we were to replace the maintenance center in 1990. So that's the reality of it. I mean, these buildings are from the 20s.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much. That's really helpful.
You mentioned as well, do we have debt service from one of the bonds rolling off, right, when it's maturing? So
yes.
You have the opportunity to layer in additional debt without having a levy impact, provided it was be similar amortization.
Referendum debt, correct.
Yeah.
Our debt service base is accounted for based on the 2020 issuance done last year, two fiscal years ago.
Given that this project is more of a, I guess, a need base versus a fun, flashy project, does that typically affect referendum results? Do voters like something that's necessary more than fun?
Voters like the beach, voters like lots.
Yeah. Yeah, so what we would do is, to be honest with you, they don't like it. That's not the what I call a sexy project.
Yeah.
The village has passed road and sewers here before increases. So we would layer it with, we also have beach improvements on our heat sheet. Pickleball courts, things like that would try to make it a little more attractive to our voters. It would be a hard sell, I'm not going to lie, but I think that's, we're going to have to do something. So trying that referendum debt is pretty much a reality by that point. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can wait till our other bonds roll off for without non-referendum dollars.
John, I have a quick question at the beginning of tab six, and I'm hoping it's a one or two sentence answer, just conceptual. How do the property taxes get allocated to each of the funds? It's not a straight percentage.
Yeah, no, that's a good question, Bart. It's not a straight set percentage here. So of the funds listed here, these are all uncapped funds with the exception of the special recreation. Or I'm sorry, they are all capped funds with the exception of special recreation and bond and interest. So for the capped funds, I should say, we're essentially coming up with those allocations based off of need, and we'll take a look at some of these non-major special revenue funds and really monitor the fund balance and ensure that we're not carrying too much in there, but still staying within the parameters of our fund balance policy, which is 25% for those non-major funds. An example of when we would maybe shift some of the allocation came into play with COVID, when we had ultimately determined we're likely going to see a dip in our program revenues. And so we went ahead and bumped up the levy that's allocated to the recreation fund. But really, it's based off of the levy that's prepared in the fall. And again, taking a look at ending fund balances and future needs in the upcoming years is really how that's allocated for those capped funds.
Okay, great. Hey, thank you very much.
Yep.
Any other questions? All right. We plan to advance this for approval at the March board meeting, hearing no questions or changes. Does that sound good? All right. We have no need, I have no other business, and we have no need to go into closed session, so we can adjourn this meeting and go right into the board meeting if you'd like. First, I'd like to say kudos to John. It was his very first budget, and to Bobby, Chris, and all the teams that worked very hard on this budget. It's a very long, painstaking process to go through with a lot of debate and back and forth discussion, so they all knocked it out of the park. So thank you very much to my amazing team. Round of applause.
Nice job. Then I can ask, does the committee have any questions prior to advancing the budget for approval at the March meeting? Sounds like a no.
No.
Does not sound like any other business.
Nope.
We're not going to close session, so I enter a motion to adjourn.
Someone, we have a second?
Second,
Spain.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Member Bourne?
Yes.
Member Brooks?
Yes.
Member Schneider?
Yes.
Member Spain?
Yes.
Chair Colby?
Yes. Motion passes. Lisa, please record the time for Zoom.
6:58. All right.
Please stop the recorder.